Welcome to C3, everybody. Are we really doing this? Yes. Yes. Pinch, pinch. Okay. Man, I was really scrambling this morning. I had to find shoes. I've worn shoes on Sunday in forever. And by the looks of it, some of you haven't either. So it is so good to see you behind the masks, whatever. I apologize. I'm move in a few different places, and I tested positive this week for nervousness, because I just wasn't sure. I get a little bit of crowd anxiety, just me being honest about all this, so as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to pull all this off and put mine back on so I can be with you, because that's really the point, right, is being with. I know we talk about, with them, with you in spirit. Yeah, right. I want bodies together. I want to see your eyes and remember that this is more than just what it appears to be, that we are in something together. So I'm grateful wherever you're joining from. If you're watching from TV, that's fine. If you're like our family, it's like, I don't want to fight the kids today. I just want to, you know, that's good. You're here. We're connected. We're going to do what we need to do. You know, I knew several months ago we were going to talk about the supernatural this month leading up to Halloween, and Pastor Mark's a good planner, kind of week by week. We line things out. He says, Jason, I want you to talk about angels. And I kind of went, you know, in this season of history, social, political, just everything, I thought, how in the world is the talking about angels relevant to what's going on? Right? Now, we all kind of have an idea of angels. Most of us probably have been to some little school play or something where Christmas time, who gets to be the angels? The bodybuilders of the church? No, they parade the preschoolers up in their robes and their little halos, and they, you know, sing something, and somebody invariably lifts their, you know. I mean, this is what the angels are. They're cute, you know, and at Valentine's, they're the chubby little babies with the arrows, and, you know, we see these Renaissance paintings where these, you know, androgynous people who are just kind of like look like they haven't had a sandwich yet today and all this stuff. And we have this picture in our mind. Of course, movies don't help. The whole spectrum of movies, they either are just, you know, wearing suits all the time, white suits, or you know, or they're It's a Wonderful Life, right? They get the old guy who, hey, help me, you know. So we all have an idea. The problem is, none of these really come from here. And so we want to look in the Bible, and we're not going to exhaust the subject. If you do a quick, you know, search of the word angel or angels in the Bible, it comes up almost 300 times. It's peppered throughout. Well, it wasn't just one guy sitting down writing the whole Bible. There were different authors over thousands of years compiling this. But what you have to understand is that the Bible, in a cancel culture like ours, or if I don't like something or it's not too, it doesn't make me feel a certain way, I'm just going to unfriend you, unfollow you, I'm just going to not pay attention to you. This book is unflinching in the fact that angels exist, that they show up from time to time, and that they are on God's mission in this world. Now, here's what I want to say. Maybe not to you, but you know people who maybe are like, oh, God, schmod, whatever. Bible, feel however you want to feel. You dare not dismiss what you can't deny. Don't do it. Okay? You don't have to like it. And I'm not asking you to go out and get your major in angelology. We're not supposed to geek out on this stuff, but we can look at it and recognize that it points to not just some sort of mythology that has some allegorical point. It's a real thing that points to a greater reality. Okay? That's the purpose of angels in the Bible, is to get us pointing to some other things. So today, really what I want to do is simply to encourage you in your faith. Because that's, again, what the evidence of angels in the Bible is meant to do. It's what they do in the Bible when they show up in God's greater story. And so that's what I want to do for you. And I just call it the halo effect. That's what the halo effect is. What does the power and the presence and the ministry of angels in the Bible, how is that relevant to us today? Well, it's precisely to encourage us in our faith and to keep us strong. We're going to talk about 5 attributes of angels, 4 of which are things that we can do. That's the other part of it too. We can share in whatever we know angels do from as evidenced in the Bible. There are 4 of the 5 things that we're going to talk about today that we also can do. One of them is reserved just for angels, and we'll talk about that when we get there. But if I was going to sum it up in a big idea for you, for your notes, if you're filling out notes, it's this. The halo effect to me is this. Don't be afraid in the middle of the fight. Don't be afraid in the midst of the fight. It's a huge theme in the Bible, not just because when angels show up, sometimes it's this, it just feels like I'm going to die because I have seen this, right? Some people have that reaction. As you read stories in the Bible, some of you know those stories. Other people would be like, what? It's a real thing to be afraid, but it's not necessarily just the angels showing up. Sometimes the fear comes from the things that we're already facing in the midst of our struggles. You guys have struggles, right? I can't be the only one. And not just when the Wi-Fi goes out and my kid's supposed to be on a Zoom meeting in the next 30 seconds. You know, it's not just the struggles of going to work or trying to work from home and the craziness that can be. It's not just the struggles of trying to keep family together when we, you know, see each other at our best and our worst and far too much, some of us, you know, week to week. And marriage, relationships, finances, you know these struggles, right? I cannot be the only one. All of us in the middle of a fight. And so if we want to get anything out of today, it's to remember, not because it's just a good idea or it helps me, you know, not be so depressed or whatever, but to remember that God has given us evidence through the appearance of angels that we are not to be afraid in the middle of the fight. Very important for us as we go through these times. So let's talk about these 5 attributes as we go through. And again, I'm just going to kind of do a quick flyby. You're going to think of stories that I leave out. And if you're online, you can put them in the chat, make us all better. Think about these things. I really do encourage you to kind of seek it out on your own, because what may jump out at me in the biblical account may hit you differently, or you might find a story that actually means more to you in all of that. But I just pulled out a few as we think through this. First thing I think angels do is to choose to worship God. Angels choose to worship God. Angels are created beings. God created them, okay? But he created them just as he created us, with free will, to choose. Angels were created to choose to worship God. Over and over and over again, Scripture talks about the fact that hosts of heaven are surrounding the throne of God, shouting his praise, world without end, right? Now, sometimes we think that's a future event, like, oh, when I die and get to heaven, well, that's when it's going to start. No, it's happening now. So as you and I are singing in whatever voice you came with this morning, mine's not quite there, we are joined with the host of heaven in worshiping the eternal God. You think about that? Does that do something for you? That my worship is joining with millions of heavenly beings praising the God of heaven. That lifts my spirit, because it's too easy to look around and go, oh, we're not all here. Oh, there's something happening on the other side that we can partner with and feel the strength of solidarity that we are joined with the hosts of heaven. We get pictures of this. I would point you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, the book of Revelation. Of course, the writer there, John, talks about this constant worship that's happening. And also, we get the flip side of it. Because angels can choose to worship God, we also get a picture of what happens when they don't. They don't get to stick around, or if they get to feeling like, hey, that worship ought to be directed at me, they don't get to stick around. This is where Satan, demons, the sort of origin story, if you're into Marvel Comics like we are at our house, those origin stories are big. That's the origin story from the Bible. It kind of, you know, you got to parse that out a little bit, but this is where it happened, is those devilish beings were divine beings to begin with, and they chose not to worship God. You and I have a choice, and we know people who choose not to. You're choosing to, not just by being here, but what the business you do in your heart with your worship, where your affections are, where your time is spent, your money, your emotions, your relationships, all those things point you towards worshiping God. Well, that's what the angels choose to do too. Second thing I think angels do is they serve the people God saves. Some people, I was just talking with somebody this week who said, oh, you're talking about angels. Well, I know so-and-so isn't going to want to hear about that because they had a child who had a life-changing accident, right? We talk about guardian angels, and we just sort of almost take it for granted, and we see movies, they don't help. That somebody swoops in and saves the day. That's not really what we see angels doing in the Bible, is coming in to keep bad things from happening. If you're living with that, you know, and it's kind of skewed your version of God, your relationship with God or whatever, I want you to step back from that because the Bible doesn't really go there, okay? What the Bible says angels do is they come and serve the people God saves. They minister to people in the midst of what's going on, and sometimes after something really hard is going on, when they're still wrestling with the emotions of that. 1 Kings chapter 19, we get Elijah after the prophets of Baal. Very famous story. Elijah was kind of on it, you know, he's on this high of defeating the prophets of Baal as God's fire comes down and burns up an altar, an offering that the prophets couldn't touch. But then that warrants a death sentence from the queen at that time, and he's on the run, and he's feeling like, oh, man, I should just die. And an angel comes and ministers to him to encourage him, to say, hey, don't give up in the middle of this, okay? God's got big stuff for you. Other people have similar visitations in the Old Testament. Genesis, a lot of times, we'll see that. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus himself, after 40 days of being tempted in the wilderness before he begins his official ministry, is ministered to by angels after he resists the devil's temptations. We read about that. Acts chapter 12, we get a story about Peter, the apostle Peter, being in prison. And this is one where an angel sort of intervenes because he breaks him out of jail. He's chained between guards, and the angel comes in the night. You know, Peter thinks he's having a dream because it's like, oh, well, who are you? Well, how is this happening? Shows up at some people's house and knocks on the door, and the poor little servant girl opens the door and is so surprised to see him, she shuts the door on him, goes up and tells everybody, hey, Peter's downstairs, and they don't believe her. So they got to come down and see that it's actually happened. Well, an angel was a part of that story. Later on in the book of Acts, the apostle Paul also gets an angel visit as he's being tossed about during a storm, and the angel has to come and say, look, it's okay. This is all going to be fine. You know, they appear. I think that's the weird part that we can't really conceptualize. It almost makes more sense when we see it in the movies and all that these things just happen. But the biblical account talks about that consistently over and over and over again, that angels show up to serve and to minister people who are on mission with God. It doesn't happen to everybody. Sometimes we get into this, well, if it didn't happen to me, it didn't happen. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people in the Bible it didn't happen to. But that's why it made the Bible, because it was kind of a big deal, okay? So don't feel bad if it hasn't happened to you. You know, I was kind of praying this week, Lord, be okay if I had an angel encounter this week, make for a really good story leading into this topic that I'm not sure how to, you know, didn't happen. But there we go. They're still around and available in ways that we can't even imagine. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit too. Here's the next thing, though, that angels do that we read about in scriptures. They deliver God's messages. That's probably our most familiar frame of reference for this. An angel is a messenger. We know the Christmas story. Again, book of Genesis talks a lot about angels showing up to give messages to people. The word means messenger, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, the languages of the Bible. So we would get that from that, of course. Genesis 18 is a very familiar one when Abraham gets visited by guests. They weren't necessarily the white robes and the wings that we always talk about. Sometimes they appear just human-like and almost unrecognizable, to the point where the main character in the Bible story doesn't really know that they're dealing with angels. They kind of figure it out after the fact, where something either miraculous happens or that figure disappears or reveals that, hey, I'm on loan from God to give you this message, and then it becomes clear to them. Genesis 19 is another one. Angel comes and tells Lot and his family, hey, you got to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because your neighbors are up to no good and God's about had it, so get out of there. That was an angel's doing to warn them. Daniel chapter 8, we get an angel named Gabriel. We don't get many names of angels, we get two that I can think of, Michael and Gabriel, who are archangels. And if you want to get your geek on, go study up on that one a little bit. But Gabriel comes to the character in the book of Daniel named Daniel, and he gives him an interpretation of a vision that he's supposed to have. Again, these are just, they're kind of weird. They're kind of mystical. Sometimes that goes against our science-predominated brain these days, but we cannot dismiss, we just can't dismiss it because we can't deny it. It's in there. We have to deal with it, even if it hasn't been our experience. I work with a lot of hospice patients who are at death's door, and they'll talk to me about dreams they've had or visitations, or family will talk about these things. And I've just learned to just keep an open mind because, again, just because it hasn't happened to me doesn't mean it hasn't happened. What I get consistently over and over and over again is that the messages that people get from whoever these heavenly beings are brings them comfort, and it brings them peace, and it helps them do the hardest thing I can ever imagine to do, especially when you know what's coming, and that is to die. No small thing. No small thing, these messages from God. And we get it not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. We see in Luke chapter 1, where Zechariah is visited by an angel who announces the birth of John the Baptist. Zechariah doesn't quite believe that, so he gets what every probably wife wishes their husband would have during their pregnancy, and that is silence. He didn't get to talk during the whole rest of the pregnancy until after John the Baptist is born. Mary also is visited by an angel who tells her that she will give birth to the Messiah. And as the scriptures tell us, she receives that message with an open heart and is perhaps understandably afraid that an angel would come to deliver that. But the angel reassures her to not be afraid because this is God's will. And of course, the most famous angel visitation I can think of is the angels who appear after Jesus has been raised in Luke 24. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, right? The best news of all, it's a game changer. We wouldn't even be church if it wasn't for that angel visitation and letting the world know that Jesus, in fact, was raised from the dead. So those are some of the messages. And again, you might have your own story. I really didn't solicit that from people. Sometimes I'll try and prime the pump. You might have your own story of an angel visitation, some roadside assistance, or I understand that that's out there. I get it. What I want you to do is, even if that hasn't happened to you, to reflect on what the Bible says, the stories in the Bible, and the fruit that comes about from that. These messages are meant to help people not be afraid in the midst of whatever they're going on. Very important. Fourth thing is that angels execute God's judgment. Now, remember I said there was five, and four of them were fair play for us. This one is not. Some of you are going to be bummed about that because you think this is your job here on earth. It is not, okay? This is reserved for the angels to execute God's judgment. We think about very early on in the human story, Genesis chapter 3, in the fall of humanity. Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden. There's an angel posted there with a flaming sword, lightsaber, I don't know, maybe they didn't have words for that, but flaming sword to keep them from coming back in. Exodus chapter 12, and after the 10 plagues or the 9 plagues, as the Hebrew people were in slavery and captivity, the death angel comes through to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, right? That was an angel visit executing God's judgment. 2 Kings chapter 19, we read about the angels being present at the slaughter of the whole Assyrian army, okay? Some messy stuff. 1 Chronicles 21, the punishment of Jerusalem. Angels were there. Acts chapter 12, angels are mentioned in the death of Herod. And then in Revelation, of course, highly interpretive, highly allegorical, symbolic, all of these things hard to understand, but you cannot deny that angels are part of the narrative as they come, particularly in the middle of that story, not just worshiping God, but to destroy and to bring about the destruction of wrong and evil in the world. Angels are a part of that activity as well. So that's in there. Now that may be scary, but again, the point isn't to scare. The point is to have you focus on the relationship with the God of the angels, okay? Don't get caught up in the angels and miss the greater point, which is that the God who created them created you to be in relationship. That is the point. not just to know about God, but to know God, to be in relationship with him, to take Jesus at his word, that his sacrifice paid for the sins of humanity brings us into right relationship. That is the gift we accept, so we don't have to worry about destruction. We don't have to worry about judgment. Our mission now becomes to help other people who have not set up that relationship with Jesus to come into that relationship so they don't have to worry about judgment either. Have we forgotten that? I hope not. That's why we're here, okay? It ain't just for us to be, you know, just me and Jesus, we're cool, and then, you know, every man for himself. No, no. We are in league with the host of heaven to be on that kind of mission, not just sort of get this, you know, wish that all the bad people get theirs. No, God wants to save people. He saved us. I'm about as bad as they come, right? If he saved me, I know he wants to save other people. So let's get on with that. But here's the deal. That's a fight. And that's a fight greater than whatever fight you were thinking of earlier when we were talking about these struggles that we face. Because here's the last thing angels do in the Bible is they wage spiritual battle. They wage spiritual battle. You think you have a spiritual battle just getting to work in the morning. Angels are waging spiritual battle as well on the other side. Now, I have a very hard time picturing that in my mind. What I tend to do is minimize it instead of extrapolate it out to what I believe is this cosmic battle that we cannot even wrap our human brains around. Where do I get that from? Well, a couple things. And thanks to Pastor Mark for telling my two, you know, clincher stories in his sermon last week. So go back and watch his sermon. I'll just reference what he talked about. 2 Kings chapter 6, the prophet Elijah has a servant with him. They're surrounded by an army who's upset with him. They're out to destroy him. And Elisha prays that the messenger will have his eyes opened so that he can see what's going on behind the scenes. And as the messenger's eyes are opened, he sees an angel army surrounding the army that supposedly is out to get them. And he understands that God is behind the scenes. There is a greater reality at work and that he need not be afraid. We think about Daniel chapter 10, which indicates the struggle that's going on. When an angel appears to Daniel to deliver the interpretation of a visit, it states that Michael the archangel had to help him fight his way through enemy forces. An angel had to fight his way through enemy. Okay, this is for real. This is why we feel the struggle is because we're a lot alike in this respect. We're on the same mission. You say yes to Jesus, you got a target on you because there's an army of hell that wants to take you down with them. They don't care about you. They just don't want you to be with God because they don't get to be. Their destiny is sealed. Ours is not. So there's a fight on. Ephesians chapter 6 talks very plainly about the weapons that we have at our disposal to fight these spiritual battles. And again, Pastor Mark made reference to that. Go back, read through those things from head to toe. You have weapons to fight. Okay? We're not angels yet. They got some stuff on the other side that we don't have. Okay? And I'm not just talking about wings. But we have weapons available to us to help us fight so that we don't play defense all the time. This is what I believe our world is asking us to do right now, is to keep backing up, keep coalescing, keep being afraid, keep being fearful, because if they can keep us afraid, then we need what they have. We need their information. We need their products. We need their guidance. We need their whatever. We need their... And the evidence of the angels in the Bible says just the opposite. There's no situation that you will ever face that you need to be afraid of as long as you and God are together. Nothing. Nothing. And if it takes an angel to come visit you, God, just send it, right? Okay, just because that's the kind of boldness, particularly now, that you and I need to have as we move forward. We are not meant to live in fear ever. Except the fear of God. We do not have to let situations overwhelm us to the point where we shut down. We do not have to cave in. We do not have to be weak. We don't have to do those things when we're in the middle of the fight. And for sure, we do not have to quit. We don't have to. We make choices every single day. The moment we get out of the bed, are we going to stay in the fight? And I worry that some people are going to, through this time of getting out of habits and maybe picking up some other ones or being disconnected from people, they're going to put their feet down one day and they're going to say, "And not today." And that is really, really sad. Your being here today is evidence that it's different for you, and I'm grateful for that. We always have a choice. We really do. But think about the five things we just talked about real quickly. We have a choice to worship God. It's why we're put here, is to worship Him, to focus our life's energy in His direction, to do what He wants us to do for His glory and for the good that it provides us, because He loves us. We get to serve. We don't have to serve. We get to serve. We're on mission with the God of the universe. Why would He even want me, right? He does. He cares. We get to be messengers. This is probably one that hits me the deepest, because I've seen it in a very, not totally unique way, but in a way that some of you maybe not see. I follow up a lot of people who have had to drop their loved one off at the hospital, and then they got to sit outside or go home, and they can't be with them. Guess who gets to be with them? I do, right? It's extreme privilege. But you know what? I'm surrounded by angels. In hospice, in the hospitals, as I watch those people, and sometimes over the phone, say, "Your loved one is not alone. I'm right here with them." That's an angel to me. That kind of message, what it does for you, because I ask you, what does that do for you? They say, "Oh, it makes me feel so much better." You may not have, credentials to get into some of those places, but I tell you what, every one of you can put boots on and be an angel to somebody somewhere, sometime, right now. You do not have to wait for that. Would you be open to that? Whether you're aware of it or not, but just say, "God, I'm available to you. Use me for your purposes," and He will do what He does so well. He does it with the angels. He can do it with us when we say yes. But be ready. Be ready. No breaks right now. It's game on. Just because we get to come back in here doesn't mean it's going to get easier. It's battle. And there'll be some ankle biter things that you think, "Man, I should be done with that by now." But it's a battle. Satan is relentless in his pursuit to take you down. And the more convinced you are that God's actually got your back, the more resolute he is to prove you wrong. And to send things your way to just keep cutting, 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 cutting. Do not give up. And do not be afraid. Don't do it. There's a million reasons to be, you'll be told. Don't give in. Listen to the louder voices. Read this thing and know. Know that God is present. The angels, I don't know if we'll see angels again in our lifetime unless the Lord comes back, and apparently then it's, really going to be quite a deal. Do not be afraid in the middle of the fight. I think sometimes, I read things in the Bible, I'm like, "Man, I wish that would happen to us." It doesn't have to. The fact is that it did happen. And that's what I gain courage from, is that people who've struggled with things way worse than I have had these encounters, and I know what it did for them. And that gives me strength to do maybe what I am afraid to do. And the bottom line is, we're never going to know the whole story. That's not our job either. It's to stay in our lane and do our job and to let God take care of the story with people who are available to Him. But imagine, if you can, in the middle of your fight, your struggle, what this halo effect might do for you, what difference it might make in your own spirit. I'm a pretty anxious person these days, and I notice that. And as I've thought about this, I'm like, okay, well, that's my relevance. I need to listen, take some of my own medicine. Not be afraid. Not get overwhelmed. Not get stressed out about things. Your marriage, your home, parents, students, everybody at work, all of these things. How do you need to be encouraged in your faith? Well, the best encouragement I can give you is to not be afraid. Just start there. Say, today, Lord, with your help, I choose to not be afraid. I'm going to move forward in the faith that I have and let you take care of the rest. It does not have to be hard, complex to carry out. You can do this with God's help. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and the band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing us out with a song that hopefully puts a little fire in your belly, too, that we can sing a new hallelujah in any given situation and choose to do that today. But I want you to, if God's stirring something in your heart, I want you to text the word Jesus to this number. We'll send you some little devotionals this week electronically just to kind of continue the conversation. We want to stay on that. We have some continue the conversation questions also to help you in with that. But I want to pray for us just now, and then we'll keep going. Lord, it's so easy to turn some of the characters in the Bible into these sort of mythological figures that don't really factor into the stuff I'm going through, when just the opposite is true. There's stuff going on way beyond my ability to comprehend that's being done with and for me that I need to join in on, and I need to gain strength from, I need to gain encouragement from, I need to gain strength from. Thank you for the gift of angels to remind us that we do not have to be afraid in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the fight, in the middle of our battle. You have promised to be with us, and that really is all we need. God, I'm so thankful that we get to come back here and do this. Bless your church. I'm so grateful for all the people who have stood in the gap these many months, behind the scenes, in the office, boots on the ground, wherever we are, being your church. Keep us on it, Lord. Keep us faithful. Keep us strong in you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.